Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
It's a Pentatonix opening on the Drex Radio Show. If we're going to talk about movies 2015, why the hell not? Da, 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 da. Yes. Pentatonix singing the Star Wars theme, accompanied by a full orchestra. Got to have it. All right, let's say good evening to Tom. Tom Sika. Tom, good evening. Thank you. Merry Christmas and good evening.
Oh, hi, Drex. You know, actually, it's Tim, but I answer to Tom, so...
Oh, did I? Am I... Well, first time we chatted, so I don't
know. Yeah, and you know what that is, too, I think? I think because on the keyboard, the I and the O are close together. It happens a lot. I mean, I get it all the time.
I probably typed it in wrong.
Right, or it's like a Mike Mark thing.
These
guys get the same thing over and over, too. Tim,
there you go.
Tim, Tom, Mike, Mark, right. All right, let's talk about movies, so... Should we start with what's opening this weekend? I think that might be fun.
Sure. Oh, God, there's a lot of really, really good movies. First of all, I wanted to say, when I hear that music from Star Wars, I just want to get up and salute, you know? I mean, it's just so invigorating. Anyway, yeah, let's see. Well, The Hateful Eight is opening on Christmas, which is, as everybody knows, and you guys have been talking about, it's Quentin Tarantino's eighth movie, and we're sort of humorlessly reminded of that with a little title card in the beginning of this movie. But this is a Western, and it takes place... Sometime after the Civil War, it revolves around eight strangers who take refuge in a stagecoach stopover. It's sort of like an inn on a mountain pass during a blizzard. And this is Quentin Tarantino's celebration of the movie Roadshow, which was this presentational event screening thing that was popular in the 50s and 60s with the advent of widescreen. And he shot this in 70 millimeter, which is double the size of, and on film. And it's presented with an overture, you know, an orchestral overture, and it has an intermission. And, you know, it's terrific. It's Quentin Tarantino. It's violent. It's funny. It's interesting. There's a lot of talk. It's 3 hours. It's almost like a play, but you never forget that you're watching a movie. What struck me, I think, more than anything was the humor. At times, it almost seemed like I was kind of watching like Blazing Saddles.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And just the fact with Samuel L. Jackson is a go-to anyway, and along with Jennifer Jason Leigh and Kurt Russell in this film. But the fact that it shot 70 millimeters, that makes me say you have to see it in a theater.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know that they're going to, when it's re-released, or not re-released, when it goes out to more theaters, it's going to be in regular 35. But yeah, what's curious about that, Drex, though, it's interesting that you mentioned it. In a way, when you're watching it, you're kind of wondering, because most of it takes place indoors, why it was shot on 70. And I think the simple answer to that is, if anybody listening has ever seen a film projected in 70 millimeter, you would know what I was talking about. There's a depth and a visual something that's really hard to put into words when you're watching, you know, this movie, a movie in this widescreen format that just kind of envelops you. So, I think definitely has to be seen in a movie theater.
Right, and that's also very interesting because, you know, nowadays with CGI, this, that, and the other, we're so used to seeing that. If people didn't know that, and you're listening at the right time if you're going to see this film, now you'll know, you'll have this odd sensation. What is it about this movie that's so different?
What's so different about? Well, that's a good, different than his other movies, or just
well, I mean, just that it feels different, you know, seeing it in 70 millimeters.
Well, Well, first of all, we do get transported outside occasionally, and there's some like striking, breathtaking kind of vistas and stuff. But I think because Quentin Tarantino is so passionate about movies, and he loves movies, and he knows the history of widescreen, I think he just wanted to shoot a film in 70 millimeter. And boy, he does it well with this. I really like this movie a lot. I'm partial to Tarantino in general, but I just think people are going to be really entertained by this. There's so much talk. In the beginning, you're kind of wondering, like, well, where is this going? You know, but there are so many interesting plot twists. You mentioned Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yes.
She's amazing. Kurt Russell, you mentioned him. He does this sort of John Wayne character, which is hysterical. Samuel Jackson plays this bounty hunter who claims to have this letter that was handwritten by Abraham Lincoln to him personally. And there's a whole plot thing going on with that. It's just terrific. I can't say enough good things about this movie.
That's great.
And as I was speaking to, as we came on the air, I was chatting with Heather, you know, this was supposed to be the big protest don't go to movie.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I think that kind of fizzled. Maybe it was just, I have a feeling it was probably a little, it was about publicity.
Opportunistic, yeah.
That's Quentin Tarantino. He hides for years, and then all of a sudden he makes a lot of noise a few months before his film comes out.
Yeah, there was a big controversy about his use of the N-word.
That's right, and police officers.
But that's in a lot of his movies anyway. But, I think he does it for effect. I can understand where some people would be offended by that. But I think he does it for because he's anything but racist as a person.
And Samuel L. Jackson's in it, so you're going to get the mother all over the place, I'm sure.
I'm
just guessing.
And I think he says it more. I think he says the N-word more than anybody in this movie.
Right, right.
I love Samuel L. Jackson. You could do no wrong.
Yeah, it was the Black Lives Matter.
He's great in this movie. Yeah.
I was going to say just that it was such the year of Black Lives Matter that some folks were using the film itself as an opportunity to protest something.
Well, he
and it's
had
like,
talked about police
you're
officers.
You're off your mark with Quentin Tarantino because he's been doing this forever. And he's using it for art's sake. It's not done in a derogatory way if it's art.
Right. Well, he got political by talking about police shootings.
Cops. Yeah,
right,
that was a separate issue.
The police union said, don't go. All right, we've got to take a break. We are speaking with Tom Sika from the San Francisco. Did I say it again? It's Tim. Mike, Mark, yes, Sika, president of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle. Now, Tim, I will get it right when we come back, and we're going to talk about the best films of 2015 and the worst films of 2015 and holiday movies. All on the way on the Drex Radio Show on
KGO.
Joel, the lump of coal. That would be bad. Thank you very much, Killers. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. And Tim Sika, president of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle, is my guest. And we're talking about movies. Tim, I think that we should mention Star Wars. I know it's the go-to film of the year. So I guess it's going to hit its billion-dollar mark over the weekend.
I think in the first 3 days, it grossed worldwide over half a billion. So if you use the math, more than likely, yeah. I mean, it didn't break every international record because it didn't open in China yet. I think it's opening in China on January 9th, and it still has to open in India and Greece. But it's broken just about every box office gross that there is, almost all. We just have to wait to see how it's all going to play out. But of course. And really, does anybody care what the critics think about Star Wars? I don't think so.
I was just going to ask you, since you are one, what do you think?
I think it lived up to all the hype. I think it's exactly what it should have been as a movie and as a part of this whole Star Wars mythology. I think the cast was great. I think it's the best acted of all the Star Wars. It was wonderful seeing Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill back playing these roles, like, what is it, 38 years later? There's something very poignant about that. And the music score by John Williams is great. I mean, he's written, this is his seventh Star Wars movie, and he still finds interesting musical voices for these characters. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm giving into all of it. It's great.
That's fantastic. So the go-to family movie of the weekend would be Star Wars.
Oh yeah, without question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else is safe? Can you take the kids to see Joy? Because that's the holiday film I would want to see.
Yeah, that's a good question too. You know, I love Joy, and it's going to be in my top 10. Really, really interesting. It's a biographical comedy drama. It's about Joy Mangano, who I had never heard of before I saw this movie. Jennifer Lawrence plays her here, and it's the lady who invented the Miracle Mop, and she went on
Home Shopping Network.
Right, that's it. Yeah. And by every rule that I have as a critic, I was going in there thinking I was going to hate this movie, but I think it's one of the greatest examples of, how do I say this, the mastery of tone I have ever seen, because there's this contrast between the tone's astringency. It was directed by David O. Russell. I think it's his masterpiece, but there's this contrast between the astringent tone that he brings to it and the potential gooiness of the material, which was just exciting to experience as a critic, because it takes all these standard Hollywood success and feel-good tropes and stylistically makes them very fresh and quirky and engaging. And when this movie is over, you walk out of that theater, you believe for, I don't know, however minutes that that you can do anything.
Oh, love movies
it's
like
such
that.
A great,
yes,
feel
that's
good
great.
Movie. Yeah, Robert De Niro is in it, and Bradley Cooper. I think if it's marketed right, it's going to go through the roof.
Well, speaking of disappointments of 2015, and we thought this looked good, Christmas with the Coopers, not so much.
Christmas with the Coopers. Oh, my goodness.
That was a Thanksgiving
thing.
I
haven't seen that one.
Yeah, well, it kind of faded away quickly, you know. It came out and it was a resounding thud. I want to ask you, let's go to Oscar buzz, Concussion with Will Smith.
Oh, yeah. Not the best movie in the sense that you can predict the lines almost. But considering that it was designed as a sort of a general audience flick, I think it succeeds. I think it's going to do really well at the box office. Will Smith plays this guy, the real life, his name was Bennett Omalu. He was a Nigerian forensic pathologist who was an American citizen, but his research sort of conclusively proved that brain damage was killing professional football players. And it's about how the NFL tried to suppress that information and then discredit him and the people that he worked for. It's very by the numbers filmmaking, but Will Smith is terrific. And the story, again, I knew nothing about. So I was, I kept giving it props for just keeping me interested in the story. And it's possible that Smith may even get an Oscar nomination for Best Actor because he's that good.
Wow.
He plays against type. He plays a Nigerian forensic pathologist, and is terrific. So, there's Oscar buzz surrounding the film and the performance.
I have to ask you. Go ahead,
Heather. Oh, I was just going to say that's really interesting because it reminds me of how I heard Spotlight described. How do you make something that's sort of combing through all this data and stuff like that really interesting and something to watch on the big screen? Would you?
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting about that movie, Heather, is everything that you said, but it also gives you a sense of what it must have been like being a part of this Spotlight team doing this investigative journalism for the Boston Globe, and it gives you a really strong sense of that. So you're kind of pulled in because you're rooting for this team to uncover this scandal. So yeah, and that's another movie that's very, very wordy, and you would think, I'm gonna check out after 15 minutes, but you don't, and that's a credit I think to the script and the direction. Yeah,
Being a member of the Screen Actors Guild myself, so we are to look at. Seven films, 99 Homes, Beasts of Nation, The Big Short, Black Mass, Bridge of Spies, The Revenant, and Spotlight.
Those are all really, really good.
They are. I want to ask you about The Big Short because there's buzz on that with Christian Bale and Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Brad Pitt.
Yeah, well, again, this is in my top 10. It is about the financial crisis of 2008, which was caused by the buildup of the housing and the credit bubble. And it is a smart movie. It's breathlessly entertaining. It's got this quicksilver pace. You learn all about the creation of the credit default swap market that was trying to bet against the what was called the CDO bubble. This is what I learned from the film, which is CDO is short for collateralized debt obligation.
Right.
And the handful of men who saw this coming. One of the film's focuses is on San Jose's Dr. Michael Burry, played in The Big Short by Christian Bale, who was an ex-neurologist and a successful hedge fund manager who predicted that this was coming, and everybody told him that he was crazy. And the movie is shocking, it's dramatic, it's funny, it's horrifying, because if you believe the postscript at the end of the movie, the banks and the government are learning nothing from this catastrophe, and are in fact doing the same things again. But
well, it might be a fun movie to watch, but to think about reliving the recession, I don't want to go there.
Well, you know where the movie grabs you is that it's funny. Because it is so extreme. You know, in the have either of you two seen Dr. Strangelove, the Stanley Kubrick movie?
Yes,
it's
one of my favorites.
It's a comedy about nuclear annihilation. Well, this is a comedy about this level of corruption, and you're watching this movie, and with every plot revelation, you're laughing because you can't do anything but, because if you were, you know, I mean, otherwise you would pull out your hair.
Yeah. It makes me think of Wall Street, too, in that respect.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, but it's insane what happened. And you know, I think this movie's got in it everything that audiences presumably go to movies for. I think it may be at times a tad too fast and sophisticated for the general audience, but I think if they go with it, they'll really dig it and they'll really be entertained by it and learn something too.
The Big Short. Tom Sica, president of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle, is my guest. We'll continue on the other side. We'll find out your favorite movie of the year and some big disappointments. Yes, there are some big disappointments this year. The worst movies of 2015. First, let's check out Neil West in the KGO traffic.
Hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want
one of the most hated Christmas songs.
I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy.
Gayla Peavy, what were you thinking when you were thinking? You want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I don't think Santa Claus.
Be careful, you could end up with one, depending on how many drinks you have tonight. Okay, thank you.
But yeah, no, you like hate this person so much, you're like, I'm going to leave a freaking hippopotamus on your lawn, darn it.
Oh, my God. Well, there were a lot of hippopotamuses laid this year. Tom Sica is my guest, and he's the president of the San Francisco Critics Circle. Tom, worst film of 2015, most disappointing, I should say. Big expectations.
I would say it's a cross between Pan, which was this reimagining of the Peter Pan story.
I couldn't believe they even put it out.
Oh, my God. I mean, the best you can say about it is that they poured a lot of money into it, and it has great CGI, and it looks like it cost $300 million to make, but it was just terrible. It's a cross between that and a movie called Pixels with Adam Sandler that was just it was just unbearable. I can't even remember it. I don't even know what it was about. It has something to do with video games and resurrecting Donkey Kong, and it was just terrible.
Adam Sandler, I want to, you know what, he's a nice guy, but he needs to get out of the movie making business. And Netflix, what were you thinking signing him to that multi-million-dollar multi-year contract? Yikes. And he just dropped that big movie, and I forget what the hell it was. It was a spaghetti western that just went nowhere.
Who was that again? I missed the first part of that.
Sandler?
Yeah, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, people keep going to his movies, though. I don't know what happened with this one. I think because the focus wasn't on him, it was on the story and it was on all the visuals and stuff. He was the star, but you didn't walk away. It wasn't a typical quote unquote Adam Sandler movie in the sense that he didn't play an annoying kind of dumb person. He was just part of this whole vision of the director. It was Chris Columbus directed it, who did
really?
Yeah, I know.
Almost
I don't know what
famous.
Happened to him. Either. I know.
Well, let me
they should both take their names off it. But,
yeah,
you know,
really?
I have to give Adam Sandler a pass always for Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, Punch Drunk. He was great in that.
That's good.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
That's probably his best performance. He knocked it out of the ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, let's continue down this path of the worst films expectation-wise of 2015. And I have a compilation, and you just tell me yay or nay with you. Steve Jobs was disappointing to a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, I would say that gets points for ambition, but I think the screenplay was the star of that movie, and it just got in the way of the character of Steve Jobs. And yeah, it was great acting and everything, but I thought it was an artistic misfire. Yeah.
Okay, then By the Sea with Angelina Jolie, Pitt.
Vanity Project.
Right.
I think I didn't hate it as much as everybody else because when I went in to see it, everybody was telling me you're gonna gag like all the way through it.
So
but
you had
it
no
did
expectations.
Have, it did have Angelina and it did have Brad, and they're both really good actors. And seeing them together in this intimate drama was not, you know, made up for the fact that it was totally terrible.
Well, Tim, you just hit on something, and you just mentioned the fact that it was a vanity project, which is one of these Hollywood deals with the big studios where you make XYZ, you know, we'll give you one or two. And this was their one or two. Now there's buzz after this that, you know, these vanity projects are going to go the way of By the Sea.
Angelina directed it, right?
Right.
So it was her
vanity. She wrote it.
It was a
gimmick.
She
wrote it,
right.
Too, and produced it and starred in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a trip. But, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here. Not exactly hurting your eyes to watch those two for an entire 2 hours.
Well, thank you for saying what I was thinking, but I didn't want to say.
Oh, sure,
yeah, no,
you can
I mean
say
they're
it.
Both really easy on the eyes, and you know because they've been married for 14 years, there's this ease with which they interact. It's just I didn't mind it.
Okay,
I
think it's one to rent.
I think the studios were very disappointed by the box office because they spent so much money and it was a vanity film, and that's where I was going with that. Let's talk about your favorite films of 2015.
Oh, wow. Probably my most favorite film is, and I think people are tired of hearing me saying this, but it's a small little chamber movie called Brooklyn that is getting a lot of awards buzz, and it's making a lot of critics' lists. But it's the story of a young woman in 1952. She emigrates from Ireland and she comes to the United States to make a new life for herself. And I know that sounds really boring, right? But this was a beautiful story, coming of age story. It was superbly acted. It was probably the most emotional film I have seen all year.
And it's
by emotional,
also.
I mean,
it wasn't
sentimental. It wasn't, but the sentiment was really genuine and moving and beautiful. And it's just a great, great picture. That's off the top of my head. That's my favorite movie of the year. What about you guys?
Well, and by the way, the Brooklyn film is somewhat of a holiday movie, right? I see them with Christmas hats on.
It has a festive quality about it.
Okay,
I guess.
Because I've heard about John Crowley, so I heard it was a must see. I am really interested in The Revenant. Now I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Yes,
Leonardo DiCaprio. No, not so much.
Well, yeah, you know, I think. Well, yeah. It's getting a lot of notoriety because of the scuttlebutt that, you know, DiCaprio is going to finally win his Oscar for this portrayal he does of a fur trapper who's seeking vengeance on this guy played by Tom Hardy. Perfect casting because Tom Hardy can do evil so well, who murdered his son. And the film features this very graphic and brutal scene where DiCaprio's character is mauled by a bear and he's left for dead by members of his hunting team. I think the movie is worth seeing for that scene alone because it seems like it goes on forever and it's very, very violent and very realistic. Technically, I think it's a really impressive movie, but I kind of think it's overrated. I think DiCaprio's performance is overrated, too. He was much better in The Wolf of Wall Street last year. In this, he just kind of, he's good, but there's not a whole lot for him to do other than just, you know, be in anguish and grunt and scream and, you know, I'm in pain kind of thing. But I think the film is worth seeing for the mastery of the craft of it. But I don't know what it meant. It didn't leave me with anything. When it was all over, I thought, why did I put myself through 2.5 hours of torture for?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, now I know better. I guess my favorite so far, and I haven't seen Star Wars, so I want to look at that, but The Martian I liked a lot.
Yeah, terrific movie. You know, that's a great movie for, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Drex, because a friend of a friend who is a scientist saw the movie recently and could not, and he's always very picky about movies involving science, and he remarked how incredibly accurate it was. So in that sense, it was like, it's like a great teaching tool for kids, and it's also a great story. Yeah, and Matt Damon is terrific. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's a terrific movie. Yeah, and that's also getting some Oscar buzz for Ridley Scott for best director
well
and
done.
Picture too.
All right, thank you. I want to thank you, Tim Sica, president of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle. I appreciate it, and have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks for having me on, and Merry Christmas to
Merry
you and
Christmas.
Heather.
Merry Christmas. Ho ho. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with our guest in studio. Will be Willie Wilkinson, and we've got a lot to chat about on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.